Do you feel like you need God's encouragement and wisdom throughout the week to take hold of His promise to fly like an eagle? You've come to the right place. Welcome to Eagles on the Hill. Let's join our host, Pastor Jeff Shike.
Hey people, I am your host, Pastor Jeff Shike. Thanks for joining us on this edition of the podcast. Today, we're going to talk about God answering prayers. And prayer is something that I've wrestled with my whole life as a follower of Jesus. Understand some things about it, don't understand other things about it. Just got to lay that out there. But probably a couple of months ago, one of you sent me a note about, here's a topic for a future podcast. And the topic was, does God answer the prayers of those who believe other religions? And I think they named Hindu and Muslim and Jewish and that kind of thing. And so that occasioned the podcast. But what specifically occasioned me doing it now is that former President Trump has picked as his vice presidential running mate, J.D. Vance. And J.D. Vance, it's kind of a up-and-coming politician out of nowhere, really. A couple, maybe 8 years ago, he was unknown until he wrote Hillbilly Elegy, which I read way back then, not even realizing who the author was. It's a great book, by the way. Haven't seen the movie yet, but I'm going to try to see that soon because of the prominence of J.D. Vance. What you may or may not know is that J.D. Vance is married to a Hindu, a woman who is Hindu. Her name's Usha. And so that kind of occasioned me thinking about, wow, we could have, in a couple of months, a vice president, J.D. Vance, who's married to a Hindu. We could have our first, I think our first, Hindu second lady, we'll call her. I guess the first lady is the wife of the president, and the first husband or whatever would be the husband of a president. So second lady, our second lady would be Hindu. That would be, I think, a first for our nation. The same kind of questions came up back when Mitt Romney was running for president. He's a Mormon, in case you don't know. That's not a Christian. Mormon kind of comes off as being Christian, but it's really not a Christian. And so does God answer Mitt Romney's prayers was the question back when he was running for president. I wasn't doing a podcast back then, so we didn't answer the question back then. So this is the kind of, that's what occasioned this podcast is that situation that we face in our country. And well, here we go. Let's dive in and see what we can figure out about this. All right. Now, the first thing we know from Scripture is that each one of us is conceived and born sinful. We talk about that all the time in worship, that none of us get into the presence of a holy God with all the sin that clings to us so tightly. So how do we get into the presence of a holy God? Well, we get into the presence of a holy God because of what Jesus has done for us. John 14, verse 6, Jesus says very clearly, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus is our way to the Father. He is the one who died and rose again for us. It is by Jesus' death that our sins are cast as far as the east is from the west. Without that, we are unholy. We are as filthy rags, as the prophet Isaiah says. Even our good deeds are like filthy rags. And so we cannot come into the presence of God without the death of Jesus on our behalf. But because Jesus died for us, as the book of Hebrews says, we can enter the throne room of God's grace with confidence because of what Jesus has done. And so that informs our thoughts about prayer. Jesus says in John 15, verse 7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Well, there's an if at the beginning of that sentence. If you remain in me and my words remain in you. In other words, Jesus is clearly saying we don't approach God on our own because we are sinners. We would be just fried to bits if we tried to approach God on ourselves. That's what the doctrine of hell is all about, right? So, however, because of what Jesus has done for us, he was fried for us, he died for us, he took the punishment of our sins upon himself, and he, in exchange, he gives us his righteousness, and because we have his righteousness, we can come into the presence of God, and God, our Heavenly Father, hears us and is disposed to answer our prayers, as Jesus there says in the Gospels. So, just as a foundational point, That is how we get into the presence of God, our Heavenly Father. So the question is, what about those who are unbelievers, who are not Christians, who don't trust in Jesus for forgiveness? Does God hear their prayers? Well, here we go. Of course, audibly, God hears their prayers, right? I think the question we're really asking is, does God answer their prayers? How does God look upon their prayers? Because obviously God hears them talking. I don't understand how all that works. He's got to be hearing a lot of things going on. But God physically will say, although God's not a physical being, but God hears them, but does he answer them? Is he predisposed to answer them as Jesus talked about there in John chapter 15 as we read that verse? Well, let's take a look at a couple scenarios, and we'll begin with a biblical scenario, which I think will give us some sense there. So you might recall the story of Elijah and the prophets of Baal. That story happened on Mount Carmel, or near Mount Carmel in Israel. It's a beautiful spot on the Mediterranean Sea. But in any case, if you recall the story, there were 450 prophets of Baal, Baal, however you pronounce the name, however you want to say it. The Baal was the god of nature, the god of thunder, the god of rain, storms, all that kind of thing. The 450 prophets of Baal there, and Elijah, and there was this contest between them to see who was the true God, Yahweh, Elijah's God, or Baal. And the prophets of Baal, if you remember the story, set up an altar there. They put a oxen or some animal, cattle on there, and then they cried out to their God all morning long, and of course nothing happened. And then they cut themselves, and Elijah made fun of them, said maybe Baal's out going the bathroom, maybe you should yell louder, maybe he's taking a nap, all this kind of stuff. Just great scenes there as that account goes on in Scripture. Of course, no fire from heaven came. So that's an indication that, well, first of all, Baal doesn't even exist. So the point is, the true God, Yahweh, was not answering their prayers as he would answer Elijah's prayer at the end of that account. Elijah then sets up an altar with 12 stones, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel, puts the animal on the altar, cuts it up, puts it up there, has attendants dump water all over the whole thing. And then Elijah prays a simple little prayer, and God, Yahweh, the true God, sends fire from heaven and consumes not only the sacrifice, but the wood, the altar, the water, the whole bit is consumed by God. So a clear case of God answering prayer. Why? Because Elijah trusted in the true God who would send his son Jesus. So he's looking forward to Jesus, and we look back to Jesus. But Elijah, too, in a way, comes into God's presence by the power of Jesus as he looks forward and trusts in God's promise of a future Messiah. The prophets of Baal were not heard by God. I mean, God heard them, again, physically, whatever you want to say, but God did not answer them. He didn't listen to them in that regard. And he did not, it was like their prayer went nowhere. It was like talking to nothingness. Okay, so there's our biblical example, which is instructive to us as we think about God listening to answering prayers. So what about a person who is Hindu? Believes the Hindu faith is a faith that believes in a multitude of gods. Many, 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 thousands, I think, of gods. Is Yahweh, the true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, predisposed to be able to listen and answer those prayers of a Hindu? Well, the answer, clearly from what happened with Baal, clearly from what Jesus tells us in the Gospels, John 14, unless you come to the Father through me, well, I'm the only way. So we would clearly say there that God is not listening to and answering those prayers. Sometimes, I suppose, the things that a Hindu might pray for come true, and sometimes they don't, but it's not because God is listening to those prayers and hearing those prayers and answering in that way. So I don't know how you react to that. For me, kind of breaks my heart, actually. Makes me feel pretty sad that because I know lots of people, I'm sure, who are Hindus, including perhaps J.D. Vance's wife, faithful Hindus, wanting to reach God, trying to reach God, breaks my heart that they are not trusting in Jesus. Especially the case with J.D. Vance's wife. J.D. Vance was a Protestant Christian. From what I know, in 2019, I think or so, he became Roman Catholic. And as he was studying the faith, still a Christian faith, and I pray that he, I hope that he's faithful and that he knows Jesus and trusts Jesus for eternal life. Certainly seems that way. I don't know his heart. But how challenging that must be in that marriage to have that kind of mixed marriage between a now Roman Catholic, was Protestant before, I think they got married around 10 years ago. By that time, he was Protestant. But now you have a household where one trusts in Jesus and prays in Jesus' name, and another trusts in other gods. That's to me, very sad, very sad. We mentioned Mitt Romney before. So let's deal with this Mormon question. Mitt Romney is Mormon. Many others are Mormons. Like Usha Vance, everything I've heard about Usha Vance is good. She's a wonderful person. Same with Mitt Romney, although he was just pilloried during the election campaign when he ran for president. I thought it was terrible what some of the things people said about him that were not true. But nevertheless, everything that I heard about him and seemed to be verified is that he's a wonderful human being. I'd love to have him as a neighbor. But is God answering his prayers? That's the question for us today. Not is he a nice person. And again, we come back to the Mormon faith not being a faith in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They claim to be Christian, but I'm telling you here and now, we should do a podcast on this. They're not. And so they're not believing in Jesus as the only begotten Son of God. It's a different kind of, they use those same kind of words, but they believe different things. They mean different things by those words. And so once again, God does not hear their prayers in the sense of listening and answering to their prayers, because they're not coming to our Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, the historical God, man, God become flesh, via the virgin birth, etc., that we believe in, that the Bible tells us that's who Jesus is. They're using the name Jesus, but it's a different Jesus. It's kind of hard to understand. And again, that grieves my heart. Like I said, I think Mitt Romney and other Mormons, wonderful people. So how sad that they don't know Jesus. And not only does God not answering their prayers, but they're not saved. That's horrible. It's very sad. And so we got to keep them in prayer. And that's why we're here. We're here. We exist, as we say in worship, for the one who doesn't yet know Jesus. What about Muslims? Well, there's a lot of confusion out there about Islam. But the reality is that Allah of Islam is a different God, completely different God than our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In fact, if you look around the Dome of the Rock, there is Arabic writing around the Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem on the Temple Mount. And that Arabic writing is specifically there to tell Christians, to communicate to Christians who see it, that they should no longer believe that God has an only begotten Son. They should no longer believe that God became human in Jesus and so forth. So they completely reject the Trinity. And that's our God. That is the biblical God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so Islam rejects that God and has a different God of Allah. And so God, again, does not hear, listen, answer to those prayers. Again, very sad. Very, very sad. And finally, maybe the hardest one for us to wrap our minds around is Jewish prayers. When I go to visit in Jerusalem and go to the Temple Mount, the Western Wall there, the Jews are there praying. They are fervent in their prayers. And of course, Jesus was Jewish. So does Jesus listen? Does God listen to those Jewish prayers at the Western Wall? Does God listen to the prayers of the Jews as they were crying out on October 7th? And being overrun by Hamas, how does God interact with those prayers? Well, this is where it gets even more difficult. God loves, well, not only Jews, but Muslims, Mormons, Hindus, Baal worship, everybody. God loves, created us all, right? We're all human beings. And so God, no doubt, had mercy, for instance, on October 7th, on many of the Jews there who were able to had their lives saved as they fought off Hamas there on October 7th, for instance. But the question we're asking is, does God, our Heavenly Father, listen to and answer the prayers of Jews? Again, we go back to that word of Jesus in John 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That scripture seems, well, it doesn't seem, it is, very definitive. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jews, as they pray, are, unless they're Messianic Jews believing in Jesus, we're talking about Jews who don't believe in Jesus, Jews who don't accept Jesus as Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, they are not coming to the Father through Jesus. And Jesus clearly says, no one comes to the Father except through him. So those prayers of the Jews, the Western Wall, wherever you might picture them praying, go unanswered. It's like praying to thin air. And that is such a tragedy. St. Paul talks about that in the book of Romans. And he says that he would even give his own life if he could save his fellow Jews, heirs according to the promise. And yet, as Jesus weeps over Jerusalem, he weeps and he says, how I have longed to gather you together as a chick, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. And Jesus weeps. And that's kind of our posture as well, that's the reality of prayer, that God has given us this avenue of prayer through Jesus. And if we don't take that, if we want to come to him on our own, filled with sin and all the yuck of our humanity that has accrued over the years and the sin in our heart, we simply cannot enter the presence of a holy God except by the grace of Jesus, by the mercy of Jesus who died for us on the cross. It's the only way we can approach the throne room of grace with confidence. Well, I hope this has been instructive to you. If you have further questions about this topic or other topics like this, we want to encourage you to write us at eaglesonthehill211@gmail.com. Let us know what your questions are, specific verses or thoughts or other groups that you wonder about. Let us know what those might be. We'd be happy to dialogue further on this. Remember that those who hope in the Lord, as we've talked about, will fly on wings like eagles. Thanks for listening to the podcast today.